Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The dollar has gained strength in the international market, meaning that when you take your trip abroad, you'll get a greater bang for your buck if you know what you're doing. You need to take a look at the ways to convert dollars and what cards should you use. What kind of rates do they charge you? What kind of fees and what kind of exchange rate? Also, you're going to find out about things you need to know when you travel abroad. So we've got a lot of things to talk about today with my guest, Jill Gonzalez, who is a Card Hub expert. Jill, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thanks for having me again, Shirley.
Now, let's talk about travel abroad. The dollar is stronger than it's been in a while. That means travelers are going to get, they can go buy more things, they can spend more, they can see more, and all in all, it's a good situation for American tourists. But what are some of the things they need to know? Because if they aren't smart about it, they can actually end up paying a lot more than they should.
That's right. I mean, we've seen that you can save up to 15%, you know, on a week-long European vacation. And that typically runs the average American family of four around $4,000. So that's an extra $600 in your pocket. That's a big deal. That might even be staying an extra night or maybe opting to fly first class. So it really does matter. You know, you can save a couple of ways by choosing how to convert your cash, where to get your cash, and then, of course, just picking the right credit card. You want to look out for exchange rates and conversion fees.
Okay, now let's go through those. Let's first talk about picking the right credit card, because there's a lot of things that the consumers need to know about these choices. And the major one, I gather, is the foreign transaction fees, whether or not you're going to be charged a fee for foreign transactions. Is that correct?
Exactly. So we saw here, I mean, based on our findings, and we did look at the four big issuers and networks. So that's, of course, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. We saw that Visa and MasterCard are going to be accepted the most widely here. And the cheapest way to even convert currency is to do so automatically while you're abroad with a no foreign transaction fee credit card from either Visa or MasterCard.
So that would mean then I get my credit card, and it may not be one I already have. I may have to get a new credit card. Get my credit card and then use it when I'm abroad to make all the purchases that I need, or if I need to get cash, to make a cash withdrawal. Would that be correct?
Exactly. And again, your best network is going to be either Visa or MasterCard.
Okay.
And your best actual issuer we found was Capital One, Bank of America, KeyBank, and TD Bank.
Repeat those for us, would you please?
Capital One was the very best. And then Bank of America, KeyBank, and TD Bank.
Okay. And now, for our listeners, if they want to go check out the study that you've just done, they can find this at cardhub.com?
Correct. cardhub.com/edu. That's where you'll find all of our studies, and these ones are pretty recent, so mm-hmm. You'll be able to find them right away.
Okay. So, first off, we're taking a look at a card. The two networks that do not have foreign transaction fees are Visa and MasterCard. Now, what about the others? What kind of fees are they likely to tack on if you do choose to use them?
So, Visa or MasterCard are the most widely accepted. That doesn't mean that every single Visa or MasterCard won't have a no foreign transaction fee. But there are a lot of cards within those networks provided by different issuers like Capital One, like TD Bank, that might not have foreign transaction fees. So you want to make sure to distinguish between, you know, the networks, Visa, MasterCard, and then the actual issuers, the banks that you get your card from.
Okay, so there's two things to concern yourself with here, the issuing bank and the network that you're using, the credit card network.
Exactly.
Okay, so now, currency conversion services, that means credit unions are not doing a great deal in converting currency. Is that correct? So if you have a credit card that's issued through your credit union, is it likely to be less useful when you're traveling abroad?
Yeah, we looked at 35 of the 50 largest credit unions, and only four of those 35 even offer currency conversion services. Those are State Employees Credit Union, First Tech Federal, Citizens Equity, and ESL Federal Credit Union. So four really out of the biggest 50.
So that means you could not use those cards abroad, or what happens?
That means that they don't offer those currency conversion services exactly. So I would make sure that you have a different card to use abroad, especially because once you're there, that's really the time to do your currency conversion. So we found that once you are there, using your Visa or MasterCard with your selected issuer, that is going to charge 5 to almost 10% less than your average bank or Travelex location. You know, those Travelexes that are in a lot of big-time airports.
Sure.
A lot of people last minute are converting their currency. That's really the worst thing you could do.
Well, generally, when you're traveling abroad, if you have probably want to have two credit cards in case something happens to one. But generally, when you're traveling abroad, you don't need a lot of cash if you're going to make most of your purchases through and your hotels and everything else through your credit card. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I mean, there are some instances. It definitely depends on what countries you're going to. Maybe if you're going to a little bit smaller countries, there are some cash only places.
Okay.
But in that case, bring a debit card. And there are no foreign transaction fee debit cards as well.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea. So you don't even have to carry cash. But you do need cash sometimes for things like, although a lot of cabs now will accept a credit or debit card. But and I guess that's true abroad as well. But you may need cash to just get yourself into the country to tip the service people and that sort of thing. So you should probably have some cash converted in the U.S. before you get on that airplane or cruise ship.
I mean, not necessarily. Again,
oh, really? Okay.
I think there's a lot of even ATMs within that country.
Okay.
That is still your best bet for getting your currency conversion. So bring along your no foreign transaction fee debit card.
Okay.
And again, for tips and for open air markets, that's when you're going to need your cash.
Okay.
And still do all your converting overseas.
So do it when you get there.
Exactly. That's really going to be your best bet.
You know, that's very interesting because I've always thought, well, geez, you need to have some cash with you. You probably do better off to convert it here. But that's not the case at all anymore. I think it's changed in terms of conversions and fees and the value of where you do it. So that's very good to know, Jill. Now, let's just tell our listeners that if they want to get this study, they can go to cardhub.com/edu. You can find it there. It has all to do about the currency. It's called the Currency Exchange Study at cardhub.com/edu, right?
That's right.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She is a Card Hub expert with various financial cards, giving us all kinds of inside info. All right, so we're waiting till we get to our country. We've made sure. Now, it's important to make sure that you've got the right card so that you can save money. You're going to tell people that at your website. So you're going to save money doing that. What else do they need to know about what they're doing in terms of purchases and so on in a foreign country? Have we covered it?
Well, there definitely are some more tips if you are traveling internationally, which more and more people are. You know, they're really not feeling the effects of the recession anymore. This is prime time. It's summer. The kids are out of school. So this is really when the travelers are out in full force, especially overseas. So as we touched on, you definitely want to use a no foreign transaction fee credit card for the majority of your international spending. Secondly, we said bring a debit card with low international ATM withdrawal fees as well. I mean, whether it's for a cab, tipping a bellboy, something else entirely, the best way to accommodate that is to bring a Visa or MasterCard debit card. And just, again, make sure it doesn't charge too much for international ATM withdrawals.
And that will depend on who the issuer is. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the important thing. You get into that network, and then you get the right bank that's issuing it.
Exactly. And then speaking of, you know, visiting ATMs, notify your bank of your travel plans. Because the worst thing, and it's happened to me before, too, you go up to an ATM in a foreign country, and your card is denied. You can't get any cash out. Let alone you can't make really any purchases. So banks will suspend your credit or debit cards if they suspect any fraud. So if you don't alert them to the fact that you're leaving and traveling out of the country, it's really not a good idea to do that, even if it's right before you're leaving. Make sure that you tell your bank, and again, this is your bank. You don't have to call Visa or MasterCard. Call your bank or issuer and tell them that you're traveling internationally. Even a good idea if you're traveling domestically, say from New York to L.A., that might look fishy on some of these accounts.
And so, consequently, you let them know so that you don't. And yes, we've heard from consumers at Call for Action. We've heard from consumers who've gotten to a foreign country and their credit card has been denied. And that can be a pretty scary thing. What do? You're there. You're dependent on an ATM and you're not able to get out money. Not the good way we want to go, Jill. Definitely not what we want to do. So call the bank. You don't need to call the network. You call the bank that or the issuer, whoever the issuer is of your card, whether it's a credit union or a bank or whatever. And you're also now, we've warned people about checking about the fees that are going to be attached to that those cards, taking along both a credit card and a debit card. Do you recommend that consumers have more than one credit card? I don't mean a copy of the other one. Should you have two separate credit cards?
If you're traveling alone, I would say take two separate credit cards. If you're traveling in a group, I would say as long as everyone has brought one, then that might be good to rely on. And, okay. Or if you're traveling with a spouse, you know, make sure that you each have one. You're not both relying on a single one. But if you're traveling as a group, that's when I would say it might be okay to only take one.
Okay. But you definitely want to back that up with a debit card so that you can make currency exchanges. If you need to pay something where you have to use cash.
Exactly.
And that's debit cards are widely accepted across Europe. Now, that brings me to the question about the different types of technology that are used in credit cards. Now, in this country, we're now seeing a move towards chip cards, and that's just a plain chip card with a signature on the back. But in many European countries, their technology uses a chip card and a PIN. Now, what is that going to mean for an American consumer who has a chip card and they go to make a purchase at a merchant in a foreign country?
So Europe, first of all, this is EMV technology, and that stands for EuroPay MasterCard Visa. So EuroPay really was the first company to get this process going, and Europe is very used to these chip cards. America, they have until October 2015, so October of this year, for all of the networks, issuers, and most popular retailers to move to this chip system. So a lot of consumers should be getting their chip cards in the mail. If you don't, obviously, by October 15, then that's when you want to go ahead and call your bank and say, hey, where's my chip card? I deserve one by now. But when you are going abroad, specifically to Europe, chip cards are definitely going to be taken, whether it's chip and PIN, chip and signature. Chip and signature is a little bit more common, so don't worry if you don't have a chip and PIN card just yet. So those are going to be accepted, but a lot of retailers over there, brick-and-mortar retailers, still accept those magnetic cards. So they really have both portals available to you at the time of purchase.
Okay, so it's generally not going well. Of course, the merchants are eager to make sales to tourists, and they're going to do everything they can to accommodate us. But at the same time, the new technology is a protection against, I don't know, has CardHub ever done a study about the difference between using chip technology and magnetic strip and how much greater protection there is for consumers?
Oh, yeah, of course. So really, I think EMV is going to lead to a lot less of these data breaches, which, mm-hmm. of course, 2014 was known as the year of the data breach.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So EMV cards, instead of those magnetic strips, it actually has a microprocessor chip containing all of your account information. You kind of dip it or tap it against the terminal instead of swiping it that we're used to. And it's so much safer because this information on the chips can't be used to make additional purchases or to make new fraudulent cards. Because once these transactions go through, it's approved using a unique authentication code, and that code can never be used again. It's a one-time code.
Oh, that's incredible. Thank you. You know, I really didn't know how they worked.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, this is why, I mean, thieves now, they're not seeing your number, your credit card number with its expiration date and its privacy code. they're seeing these one-time codes that they really can't do anything with. It basically expires once the transaction goes through.
And so it also protects us here at home from having that card cloned by someone swiping it through a little device that will duplicate the magnetic strip on the back. I had that happen to our call for action card.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's what people are not going to be having anymore. I mean, 80 countries around the world have really already rolled these out. Most of Europe, some of Latin America, some of Asia. There's already 2 billion chip cards worldwide. So America is kind of late to the game here.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a good thing that Obama actually put some pressure on U.S. issuers and networks this year so that by 2015 in October, really everyone should have them.
And if we can reduce the cost of fraud, we can reduce the cost to consumers because we end up paying for it.
Exactly. And now there has been some disputes, you know, well, if credit cards are becoming so much more secure, what about debit cards? What about ATM fraud? Keep in mind, debit cards are going to have this same chip technology.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do ever have any, you know, doubt that there might be an upward trend of ATM fraud, whenever you are inputting your PIN at one of those machines, just make sure to cover it with your other hand.
Oh, that's a thought, because they have cameras looking at it.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's just take a brief pause here, and I'll ask you some more about that technology. But I want our listeners to know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She is a CardHub expert, and we're telling you how to save money. I mean, I like that, Jill. Now, we were just talking about the fraud and how the technology is reducing the amount of credit card fraud, which is good for all of us. But you said, now, if you go to an ATM, explain this to me. You were talking about putting your hand where?
Sure. So once you kind of input your card into the ATM, you'll either have to take it back out or leave it in there until your transaction is processed. It depends.
Right.
But when you put in your PIN, so obviously you're using your left hand to actually press the numbers, but use your other hand to kind of cover right over the PIN pad.
Okay, so that it can't be photographed if somebody has hooked up a camera to that ATM machine.
That's right, because half of the breach there is the skimmer, that little machine that they place mm-hmm. on top of the ATM machine structure
mm-hmm.
to get your card information, but that really is irrelevant without your PIN.
Right.
So if
right.
you take that second step and that little extra bit of precaution, either in the U.S. or abroad, that really will reduce your slim chances anyway
yes.
of any type of ATM fraud.
Well, there's been more ATM fraud with skimmers being put in the machines themselves. We've been hearing about some of that recently. But yes, you're right. It will help to reduce. Okay, let's go back to talking about making that trip abroad. Really fantastic. So we said you're going to bring a card with a low ATM withdrawal fees. You're going to check out and find the right credit card, notify your bank. And you should also have other contact information for your bank as well, shouldn't you? Which would be normally on your card. But if your card gets lost, you're not going to have that info.
Exactly. So if you flip over your credit card or your debit card while you have it, then you'll easily find how to call that bank securely and also call collect, because, again, you don't want to pay for this when you might not have any form of payment on you.
Okay.
So write down the number somewhere or put it in your cell phone, how to call your bank collect, because if your card gets lost or stolen, being able to contact your bank will not only nip any potential fraud in the bud, but most banks will even overnight you a new card, and that's no matter where you are.
Well, they want you to use it.
That's right.
I mean, that's good business.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's right. And you certainly want to have it with you. Absolutely. So, yes, get that phone number, the number that you can call, that you don't have to pay for it, and make sure you have that somewhere other than in your wallet. Put it in several different places, actually. Do you need to have the card number as well? Do you need to write that card number down?
You should, yes. You should have all the pertinent information.
Okay.
A lot of times, they can get around it if you don't have your exact card number.
Mm-hmm.
They can verify that you're you in other ways, but it is definitely a good idea.
It'll make it faster, probably expedite the process.
Yeah.
But just make sure it's someplace secure. Put it in a hotel safe or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's one thing that you all give as advice for travelers, is, and I don't quite understand what this means, steer clear of dynamic currency conversion. What are you talking about there?
Yes, there is something called dynamic currency conversion that a lot of travelers don't know about, but a lot of them have run into it before. So think back to a time when a merchant offers to convert your purchase total from the native currency back to U.S. dollars.
I've had that happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, you're in France, you're using the euro, and they are asking you if you want to make it and turn it back into U.S. dollars because, you know, it's easier for you to understand. You can maybe keep track of your spending a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they're trying to help you out. But in actuality, they're probably looking for an excuse to apply a higher exchange rate. So say the exchange rate is, you know, 3%. They might jack that up to 10% and pocket that 7% difference.
Wow.
To them. So, yeah, it's really not a good idea. I mean, you don't want to be finding that out later. But it's the best idea to just use and spend your money in the native currency. And again, you can do that straight from your credit card. That technically is a currency conversion when you're just paying, you know, in France, you're using a U.S. credit card. That's when you're going to get the best rates anyway.
And I'll bet you that for your phones, there are some apps that you can get that will work internationally that will help you on currency conversion, telling you what you're actually paying for something.
Yeah, I mean, really all you need is a calculator, just a regular calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for those currency conversions, just to give you a little bit of an example, say you go to a Travelex right before you're leaving, you give them $300, you want to convert it to euros.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're going to get about 240 euros in exchange. If you were to do that whole process already in Europe with your credit or debit card, you would get about 265 euros.
That's a lot more.
Yeah.
It's a lot more things I can buy.
Exactly.
I like that. I'll spend it anyway, but just let's spend it more economically. I like that, Jill. We only have about a minute or two. Anything else that you want to pass on to international travelers?
I would just say be careful, and I think this year more than ever, when you are going to the airport, rushing around, get there even earlier than you might have been doing in the past year or two, because this Memorial Day alone, we saw a 10% increase in traveling.
Wow.
Just for Memorial Day.
Wow.
So really, again, people are over the recession. They want to go spend their money, and they want to do it abroad or maybe domestically traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of that. You know, be cautious and be a little bit more timelier than you would have been before.
And I have something to add on to that. If you're planning travel abroad or even to some countries that accept us without a passport, you really need to make sure that your passport does not expire within 6 months of your return date to the United States, which is, it's gotten some people, because if you go to, let's say you go to the airline counter and your passport's going to expire 3 months after you get home, some countries will not allow you to travel there. Do you know that?
I did not know that. So you are teaching me something.
Yeah. And we've had consumers call us and it happened to them. One woman particularly was planning a trip to Greece and her passport expired about 4 months after her return date. They would not accept it because the Greek government required her to have a passport that was good for 6 months. Okay. That's the final word. I taught you something, Jill. Thank you. You've certainly taught our listeners a lot. It's been a great pleasure having you here with us. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I have been delighted to be talking with Jill Gonzalez, who is an expert with CardHub, and it's cardhub.com/edu for their latest study on currency conversion. Go take a look at it before you set foot outside the door and get on that airplane. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.